Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
I'm Phil Briggs, podcast host of Vet Story and producer at ConnectingVets.com. Looking to provide some insight on the current story about the two Navy SEALs being investigated over the death of an Army Green Beret in Mali. News reports have surfaced that the Navy is investigating if the Green Beret, Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar, died at the hands of SEAL Team 6 members. But I had questions on how SEALs and Green Berets could be operating in the same region on the same mission at all. So I reached out to Special Operations Combat Veteran Nicholas Carnese. Nick has experience on the Afghanistan-Pakistan border with the United States Marine Corps as a Special Operations Combat Veteran. How is it that a SEAL and a Green Beret would ever kind of be in the same room?
Sure. Yeah. And again, I don't know the specifics of that particular case.
Sure.
When we were deployed, our higher headquarters was the SOTF, the Special Operations Task Force, and they were responsible for a geographic area. And the command element of that SOTF was switching back and forth between a Marine Corps command element from MARSOC and then an Army command element from Army Special Forces. And subordinate to that were all the special operations companies, in our case, my Marine Special Operations Company, and then all of our units, our teams beneath that. And we actually had Army ODAs working with us in the same battle space under the same command structure. So when I was deployed, our company actually had a few ODAs that reported directly to us within the chain of command. So it's really kind of like a plug and play.
Hmm.
And there's some cases where you might have a Marine Special Operations team, an ODA, and possibly a SEAL platoon all kind of working together. They might not all fall under the exact same chain of command, but everyone is working together and coordinating operations and things like that together.
So from the 30,000-foot like general view, like most literally like some 4-star generals out there, and he's looking at some battle plan, he can pull you guys out individually as tools from a toolbox and say, well, we could have SEAL Team XYZ go here, and we could have them kind of supported on the ground by, this ODA, and then these guys get involved, the MARSOC guys, right?
Yeah. Big picture, kind of breaking it down, that it works like that.
Wow.
Fascinating. And I know the, you know, the full details, you know, are going to require some sort of investigation, and there'll be criminal proceedings and all kinds of things that we just can't speak to. But in general, when you guys were in theater together, was there like a friction, or was there ever any sort of like, you know, Army Navy rivalry on the battlefield? Or do you guys realize you're all there in the theater focused on some kind of master objective?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Same team. Like we all got along really, really well. And you know, I remember one of the ODAs, their team leader was a pretty senior guy, and he was awesome. You know, we all looked up to him. Great guy, great team of guys. So yeah, I mean, in my experience, everyone got along really, really well. We do a lot of training together in some cases. So you get to know some of the guys after a while. You know, there's some guys out in Japan working in Southeast Asia that I'm still in touch with, you know, sending Snapchats back and forth. So yeah, there's normally a very healthy camaraderie, regardless of which branch of service, since we're all in the special operations community pursuing the same mission.
Yeah, very cool. As I would imagine, right? Because I know even when we pulled into port together, me being, you know, a photojournalist in the Navy, you know, we saw some guys from the Army and were somewhere far away, you know, rode to Spain or Italy. You know, you see some, you know, you see a brother out there. You're like, what's up, man? And then you know. Get to busting each other's chops once the beer starts to flow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're always going to have those inter-service rivalries, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, because we would run into trouble from conventional forces, you know, either they love you or they hate you. Right. So that was also kind of like the shared, shared experience, you know, rolling on to a FOB or a base somewhere and kind of getting the stink eye from some people, you know, but yeah, we worked really well together.
But it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility that a tier one unit might be comprised of guys from different services.
Yeah. I mean, like normal, like a standard SEAL team, you know, like it's all SEALs. It's all, you know, naval personnel. Same thing with the ODAs and Army Special Forces. You know, those are all Army guys. And then same thing with MARSOC, right? Except we have some, you know, Navy corpsmen and stuff in there. And then when you all fall under the higher headquarters in theater, then you can, you know, attach, like you can have an ODA working with the SEAL platoon, working with, you know, an MSOT, all under the same command element. But then some of those tier one units, actually the team is made up of guys primarily from one service, but could include, you know, guys from another service that applied and were selected.
Now, last question is, because these guys are so forward deployed, your missions are often so far away from a FOB. You're so far kind of behind the line, so to speak. Was it tough to establish like who was in charge? I mean, if you've got two sort of different teams from two different forces, was it, you know, was it difficult to establish like who was right, who was wrong?
No, because in our case, we had our teams that were out, you know, in the hinterlands, and they all reported back up to the company headquarters. And in this case, we had a few ODAs in this one particular valley. And then we also had some MARSOC guys around there. And the chain of command was the same. It all went up to our company headquarters. So normally, you know, the teams have a lot of autonomy in their area, their territory where they're operating. So if there's any deconfliction that needs to happen, if there's any type of headbutting, that will go up the chain to the higher headquarters. So we never had any issues with deconfliction. Now, you know, when it came time to plan joint missions, you know, of course, some of the guys want to be the ones to take the objective and the other ones didn't want to be in a supporting position. And, you know, that was always fun to work through. But we never had any issues with any type of chain of command problems.
Very cool. Very insightful. And I appreciate you shedding some light on that, Nick, having been there. And again, not that I haven't reinforced this point enough throughout this little segment, but if it was me, I'd always be like, yeah, you guys want to go first? Cool. You guys go first and second, and then give me the sign, and then I'll come in, and then I'll take a picture.
That's some of the most important stuff, actions after the, you know, on the objective afterwards.
I appreciate you saying it that way, brother. Awesome, man. Always good to talk to you. Nick, StubbleAndStash.com, my inside man that has the experience as a special operator. Your opinion's always great, man.
Hey, happy to help.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.